Thank you, Steve, and good morning. Am I on, Dave? Is the mic on? Okay. A couple months ago in my reading, I came across a statement that kind of stuck with me, and I decided to do a little study on it. It's nothing new, but it was new in the fact that I thought I needed to go a little deeper with it. And that statement was, it's possible to obey God, but not please God. And my first thought was, you know, if you're obedient to God's Word, then you should please God. But we're going to see as we go through what I've prepared and what I've studied is our attitude is important. Our heart. Our heart has to be in it. We go through the Scriptures and we see on many occasions where people obeyed God, but they didn't have their heart into it. In other words, they didn't really want. And a good example of that is Jonah. If you'll go back, and we won't look at that right now, but Jonah. God called him to go to Nineveh, and Jonah didn't want to go. And he tells us in chapter 3 why. He knew God was gracious, long-suffering, and that if he went, the people could repent. He didn't want them to. He didn't like the city of Nineveh. So he ran from God, and of course, you remember, he got cast out of the boat, and a great fish swallowed him and vomited him up on dry land. And then God spoke to him a second time. This time he went and preached that judgment was coming in 40 days, and the people repented, and it made Job angry. His heart wasn't in it. The very thing that God had given him to do, he had done it. God used his word to save the people from destruction, but Jonah's heart was not in it. He wasn't pleased with the way Jonah did. And so we know that he raised a gourd up and so forth, and taught him a lesson about how important people are, more important than physical things. So that's just the opening part I wanted to tell you. But in what I want to talk about is how do we please God? And I thought about it. As we go through a life, we have three choices of pleasing. One is pleasing ourselves. That's the way the world lives. And we've all been there. And we still sometimes fall back into that trap. The problem with trying to please ourselves is that it doesn't satisfy us. No matter what we do, whether it's in the drug world, sex, money, whatever it might be, possessions, it never satisfies. We go for a while and then we want something more. So trying to please ourselves or the flesh, we'll never do it. It's always incomplete. And then we can spend our lifetime trying to please others. And if we do that, we know that if you have 30 friends, you're going to have 30 different views and 30 different people try to please. Everybody's going to be a little different. So if you try to please men or others, you're going to have a problem because everybody is different. But then the last one is we can live to please God. And God is different in the fact that He satisfies. God, we know what God wants. We can be satisfied by serving and by pleasing Him. And also, He is unchanging. So we know in His Word what He's told us, what He desires. And that is obedience, but obedience from the heart. Not just as a rule. We don't obey God's Word because it's a set of rules that's been written on a piece of paper. But they become live in our heart. And our heart changes. And we are motivated to serve and to do what God's told us to do because our heart has been changed. We got the new birth. We were born again. We received a new heart. And that heart should have an attitude toward God to please Him. I'm not saying that we please God continuously every day of the week. We should try to. That should be our goal. But we do sometimes fall back into the old self, where we try to please ourselves and please others. And that's what I want to talk about. But there are three things also that God says, too, that says that how God cannot be pleased, and one, and how He is pleased. And those three I just want to mention. It says those that are in the flesh cannot please God. He's talking in that verse we're going to look at a little deeper later, mostly about the unsaved. But there are times when a Christian becomes carnal and he acts in the flesh, and it doesn't please God. We know that. Also, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Notice those words, impossible and cannot. So there are no exceptions. So we have to have faith, and faith is trusting God in His Word, even though we don't know all the answers. We don't know why, where, when, and so forth. But we know God is dependable, and we trust His Word, and our faith is in His Word and not our own thoughts and ideas. And then the third one is, we know that He's pleased in His Son, because on several occasions, He said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." So anytime that we can honor the Son and talk about His Son, we please God. So I want to that's just the background for what we're going to go through this morning. So the first thing I want to talk about is godly living, our lifestyle, our conversation, the Scriptures calls it. So we live a godly life to please God and not men. We brought that up just a minute ago. If you would, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And we'll read the first 8 verses. 4. Then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that ye, as you have received of us, how you ought to walk and to please God. That's our life, how we're to live and to please God. And as I mentioned earlier, we can be obedient to the Word, but it may not necessarily please God if our attitude's wrong. I think about the Pharisees. You can go through Scriptures on many occasions where people did things or do things for the wrong motive. It says, "For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should obtain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of sensuality, even as the Gentiles who know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanliness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despises or rejects not man, but God, who hath given unto us his Holy Spirit." So in these verses, it tells us we're to live a holy life. We're not to be like the Gentiles, he says here. We're to live a godly life, honoring to our Lord Jesus Christ. That pleases God. But he says here, not only has he asked us or he's commanded us to live a godly life, but he says he's given us the Holy Spirit in order to do so. When we were born again, we received the Holy Spirit. So it's not like the law. The law was a set of rules written on tables of stone that the people could not keep. The law, the problem with the law was it told people what was wrong, but it didn't give them the power to overcome or to do what the law told them to do. And so that's where grace comes in, through the Lord Jesus Christ. When we're saved, we receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives us power now to serve God and to turn from sin. If you would, turn to John chapter 8, verse 29, our example of someone who pleased God and not men. And that's our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is His attitude. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ. This is the mind that you and I should have every day of our life. He says, "And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please Him." In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ, when He was on this earth, everything He did, He pleased the Father. In other words, He was totally obedient to the Father. And He says, "As He has sent me, is with me, and He's not left me alone." He's not left us alone. We have the Holy Spirit, as I mentioned earlier, to help us to please God and to do the things that He's commanded us to do. So the Lord Jesus Christ is a good example that He was here to please God and not men. When men ask Him to do things, or the devil, when he tempted Him in Matthew chapter 4, He knew His purpose on earth was to please God, to do the will of the Father. That's our purpose in life. And we're not to be distracted from that goal. Then if you would, go to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17. It says, "And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." It says, "Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus." When we talk about somebody's name, we talk about their character or what they are. If I were to tell you, go see Dr. So-and-so, or maybe a banker, and I said, "Tell him I sent you," then when you go, he's going to know that I've approved of you, and what you do is going to reflect on my name. If you don't turn out to be what I've projected you to be, it's going to look bad on me. So when we, whatever it says in word or deed we do, it should help increase the worth of our Lord Jesus Christ to those we're communicating to. It shouldn't be a distraction. It should be negative towards the work of Christ. So he says here that in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord, you're giving thanks to God the Father by Him. We give thanks for the very things, everything that God has given us and things that we do. Then in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4, let's go back to 1 Thessalonians. Again, I like to use a lot of scriptures. I know some people don't, but less that I can say of my own personal thoughts, let the Word speak for itself. 1 Thessalonians 2:4 says, "But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts." Paul says we were allowed of God to be entrusted with the gospel, something valuable. The most valuable thing God has is His Word. And He's entrusted us with that. So it's His Word. We're to keep it. We're not to change it. We're not to take away from it or to add to it. But we're to deliver it exactly the way that He intended it to be. And He holds us accountable. We're to please God because it's His Word, not men. We don't preach the gospel to make people happy or have fuzzy feelings. We preach it because it's the Word of God. We've been entrusted with it. And God has given us that privilege. Because it says God tries our hearts. He looks at our hearts. He knows why we do what we do. Then if you would, turn to Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. Over and over, we're going to see repetition that our purpose in life is to please God and not men. Because you'll never please men. Galatians 1:10, Paul talks about his past. "For do I now persuade men, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ." See, Paul in his past had persecuted the church. He thought he was doing what men wanted to do and what he wanted to do. He thought he was doing God a favor. But he wasn't. And he learned that. He says, "So do I now seek to do what men want me to do, seek their approval or favor, or do I want to please God?" I can't do both. I can't please men and serve Christ. He says we can't serve two masters. It's talking about other things, but basically we have to either serve Christ or we serve men. And so we are to be the servant of Christ and not try to please men. And if you would, go to Matthew chapter 23. We're going to see an example of pleasing men. We're going to see the Pharisees. We could read a lot of verses here, but the Pharisees were very good at outward appearances. The flesh and the world has us to believe that what we see on the outside is enough, and that's a true indication of a person. It's not his character. All we see on the outside is what he exposes externally. But we don't know what's inside of a person's heart, but God does. And so the things that's in a man's heart are just as important as those things he does outwardly, or more important, we might say. Matthew 23:23. "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you to have done, and not to leave the other done." So they were given their tithes, they were given money, and so forth. But we can see later they were doing it to be seen of men. Remember the widow woman who put two mites in? Said she gave more than all of the others. Her heart was in what she was given. So the amount is not the question. It's the heart, what motivates us to do what we do. So he's telling them here that, you know, the external things that men can see you doing are important, but you've omitted law, judgment, mercy, and faith. Those internal things, the important things, where you've actually put those things into practice, practical way. He says you should have done both, not leave the other. And it's you blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. What an illustration. A small gnat and a large camel. He says you're majoring on the minors and not looking at the real things that are important. He says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. So he uses a good illustration here of a cup. He says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like unto whited sepulchres, or graves, which indeed appear beautifully outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanliness. In other words, you hide the real you. That's what the Pharisees were doing. They weren't really, the people couldn't see how wicked they really were inside in their heart. It says, even so, you also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you're full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Here again, God sees the heart. God knows why we do what we do. So it's very important that we don't serve God in a way that's just physical. It has to be from the heart. I thought about even worship. We come to worship. We can be at worship meeting every Sunday morning, but our heart could be off somewhere else. And it doesn't please God. We can give in the offering when the offering comes around. We could put a lot of money in. We could put more than anybody else in here. But if we do it grudgingly, or we do it because we want to be seen, somebody see us put it in, or see our name on the check, then we've lost really the part of pleasing God. We're trying to please men. And so it's very important that we don't just try to appear righteous unto men, because we're not going to answer to men, we're going to answer to God. And so it's very important that we please Him. For one more, let's look at Colossians chapter 3. We'll run through this quickly, hopefully. It says, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. I'm not going to dwell on that one, but that's something that pleases the Lord, is for children to obey their parents. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Now, here's where it starts. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service. Don't just to be seen when the boss is around or somebody's around, you look busy like you're doing something, but do it as unto the Lord, as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. See, we're actually working for God. We work for a company, perhaps, to obtain a salary, but we have to look beyond that. We're not just serving our boss, our local boss. Ultimately, we're serving God. And the way we act, the way we perform on our jobs, reflect upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that we're going to have to give an answer to. It says, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men. See, we're serving again the Lord. Over and over again, we're reminded of that. That's why we're out to please Him and not men. Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. He's the one that's going to pay that. Your real payday is coming from the Lord Jesus Christ, not from your employer. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. There is no respect of persons. Now, moving along, the second thing I wanted to bring out is the service. The things that we do are motivated by the heart and not by the flesh or out of duty. Sometimes we do things because it's the thing to do, it's what we ought to do, rather than what God's laid on our heart to do. And it will be failure if that's the case. If you want to make a note, I'm not going to read it because we're going to run out of time, but Ephesians 6, 5 through 7 is basically the same thing it said in Colossians. It's just kind of a repeat, saying that not with eye service and so forth, but we're serving the Lord, not men. And it's from the heart. All right, if you would, turn to Romans chapter 8. Verse 1 and verse 8. We're going to skip down to 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So then that they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Here again, we're born again, we're saved, it's settled. We're saved, we're on our way to heaven. But there are times in our lives as Christians that we can fall back to the flesh. We can be in the flesh in the sense that we obey the flesh. We don't always, all the time, live in the Spirit. We should, but we allow the flesh to come in. He says, those in the flesh cannot please God. But those who have never trusted Christ as your Savior, they're in the flesh, so no matter what they do at any time, it does not please God. The only thing that would please God is for them to accept His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, be saved. And then they walk in the light and not in darkness. And so this verse reminds me of both the unsaved and the saved, that if we're in the flesh in any way, it cannot please God because we're doing it for the wrong motive and for ourselves. In Philippians 4:18, we'll read that and then we'll go to 2 Corinthians 9. I want to tie those two together, but it's about giving. And I mentioned that earlier. What pleases God is a cheerful giver. That goes with money or time or whatever it might be. God doesn't want us to hold a grudge or do it with a grudge in our heart. It's like your children. You want your children to obey you because they love you and they want to obey you, not because they have to. They're going to get a whipping if they don't do it. That's negative motivation, but it's not the way we want it to be. We want them to obey the first time and with the right spirit. Philippians 4:18 says, but I have all and abound. In other words, Paul's received a gift from the church and it's met his need. He says, I have received Epaphroditus, the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. They had given this money or whatever goods for Paul's good, for his benefit. And it was pleasing to the Lord. They gave it with the right motive. And so, if you look at 2 Corinthians 9:7, we'll see that motive that we're to have or that desire to please Him in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, out of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. So here again, it's talking about the heart, our actions. It's not the amount in anything. It's a heart. It's like faith. Faith, we were talking about faith. Faith is something that it's the object of our faith that's important. How much faith? We could have a lot of faith in the wrong thing and it's no good, it's no value to us. But a little faith in the right thing is valuable. So a person can have a lot of faith that there's no God. A person can have faith in that there's no God, there's no hell, there's no afterlife, but it is of no value. It's destruction for him. But a little faith in the truth in the Lord Jesus Christ goes a long ways, and it's very valuable. So he says he loves a cheerful giver. Then go to Romans chapter 6, verse 17. And I'll just give you the rest of them after this one to go to the next point. He says, but God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. In the past, we were the servants of sin because that's all we could do. We had no other means. We were capable of sin. We were going to sin because we had no power to overcome it. But he says, but you have obeyed by faith and from the heart the form of doctrine, the gospel, and the doctrine which we given you. So now he says, in the past you had no means to get away from it, but now in Christ you can obey from the heart. and you can follow God's teachings. Then I'm not going to read it. 2 Corinthians 3, 2 and 3, if you want to read that, some more examples about what I spoke about, the tables of stone and the fleshly tables of the heart, the difference. And so we'll go to the third point now, the object. Obeying the truth pleases God when we obey the truth by faith and not our feelings or our thoughts. Hebrews 11, 6. We read Hebrews 11, we're going to see a lot of people, examples of faith. People who exercise faith in He says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So here again, without faith it's impossible to please God. Faith in His Word. Faith in what He's given us. Faith in His Son. Not a unknown something that we don't know what it is. You know, faith in something that's unknown is not too smart. But when we have faith in something that we know is true, then it's very valuable again to us. And that's the Word of God. 2 Timothy 2:15. I'm going to read these because we're running out of time. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Here again, it's our responsibility to rightly divide the word of truth. Not just preach part of it that makes people happy, or part that we like and ignore the part we don't like. But we're to rightly divide the Word of God. We're to compare Scripture with Scripture and so that we don't take things out of context. And it says that we'll be approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. So it pleases God for us to study His Word, to rightly divide it. And without going into a lot of more illustrations, but in Genesis chapter 5, we mentioned this morning, or we actually, Genesis 4, but we see a person mentioned named Enoch. And when we read 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, that they walk with God and please God, we're going to see that Noah and Enoch are the only two people that I can find in the Scriptures where it really says they walk with God. There are people who walk after God, but they were close their whole life in a relationship with God that other people, I think, at that time, it was a wicked time they lived in, but they had a relationship with God. It could be said that they walked with God. Now, God walked in the midst of the garden with Adam and Eve, but when it says God walked with them, I only found it two times in the Scriptures, and that was Noah in Genesis. Noah's in Genesis chapter 6, verse 9. It's a total commitment to the Lord that they had. And Hebrews 11, 5 about Enoch, it says, by faith Enoch, here again, faith, was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, I thought about that. If in this case he wasn't buried, he was translated. In other words, he didn't see death. But I thought about people when you go to the graveyard or cemetery, you see things written on their tombstones. But it would be great to have that placed on your tombstone and it be true. He pleased God. We see lots of other comments made which are good at all, but to please God is a statement that just says so much. And but Enoch was that kind of a person. Then we mentioned this morning in worship, somebody did, about Cain and Abel. And I just want to read Hebrews 11, 4. I was going to read Genesis, but we'll go Genesis chapter 4. But Hebrews 11, 4 explains, again, the reason Abel's offering was accepted. It says, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by he being dead yet speaketh. By faith, that word, those two words, by faith. Abel brought his offering by faith. He had faith in what God had shown him. It was a blood sacrifice. We're going to see, you see later in the Old Testament, that fruit and grain and stuff, they were acceptable as certain sacrifices. But God had shown it. This time, God hadn't shown them all that. But he had shown Adam and Eve that an innocent animal's blood had to be shed. And I think that's the problem. Cain decided to do it his own way. He brought the best he had, but it wasn't acceptable to God. Because it says here, look in verse... if I can find it again. Had respect of his offering... He obtained witness that he was righteous. In other words, God counted him righteous. The same way you and I, by faith, when we came to the Lord Jesus Christ, the right way, through the blood of his Son, we were declared righteous. Because we came the way, the only way that we could come. We didn't devise our own way. Man cannot devise his own way to take care of his sin problem. He has to come by the way of the cross. Proverbs 14:12, I use this every time I speak probably. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. No, we don't get to choose how to please God. We don't get to choose how we're going to get to heaven. God has already told us. And we might think we have a better way, but that's not going to work. It's not going to hold up. We have to go the way of the cross and the way that God has shown us. Last one is the most important. How do we please God? And I mentioned that earlier. And that's through His Son. By praising and honoring and worshiping His Son. His Son is the most important thing. When we see that He loved the Son, His Son before the earth was ever formed. He's loved Him from eternity past. And so anytime, just like we do our children, someone brags or talks good about our children, it makes us happy. It pleases us. And so that's how one of the ways that we can please God is by honoring His Son. Not just facts. Some people think that just studying the Word of God and being a genius as far as quoting Bible scriptures and things is what pleases God. God wants us to learn Bible verses. But if that's as far as it goes, then we've missed the point. It's His Son. Those verses we learn should point us to His Son and in the process show us what His Son has done for us, and we should thank Him for it. If you would, go to Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. This is an example I gave earlier. And Jesus, when He was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto Him. And He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon Him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So His Son, He was well pleased with His Son. His Son loved the Father loved the Son. The Son was obedient to the Father's will. And so there was perfect unity and harmony with the Father and the Son. And so when we lift up the Son, then it pleases the Father. One more I want to read is Isaiah 53:10. I have more verses, but we're going to have to cut short in just a few minutes. Isaiah 53:10. It says, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand." Phrase, "it pleased the Lord to bruise him." Now that doesn't mean that he enjoyed it. In the fact that when we say something, we enjoy something. But what it means is the Father knew exactly what we needed. The Son was totally in agreement. And so the Father knew what would happen. In other words, he says, he shall see his seed. He knew the future. So it pleased him that he could provide a sacrifice for sins for the whole world. And so it pleased him in that sense. But notice it says it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Men are the ones who put him on the cross. But it was God who placed the sins upon him. And so men did this with the permission of God, because it was all in God's plan and God's will that Jesus Christ would die upon the cross for the sins of the whole world. And the fact that he was dying for our sins and not his own sins, that's what pleased God. He was perfect. He pleased his Father. And so the Father knew that what it would accomplish and what he would do. Then we're not going to read it all, but John chapter 4, the woman at the well, talking about worship, this mountain or that mountain, do we worship here or there? And he said, there's coming a time where this mountain or that one, but you will worship the God in spirit and in truth. In other words, he's saying it's not going to be a place. We worship and please God is not in a place, particular building or whatever it might be, but it's in spirit and truth. Through the Holy Spirit, which we've been given, and the truth, the Word of God, and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We worship God through the truth, not the word, the way He's told us to do it, not the way that we've conceived in our own minds, how that we could please God. So we see that Jesus told her that, and she didn't quite understand it at first. And He says, I'm the one that speaks to thee. In other words, I'm the Messiah. I'm the one who's come. I'm the one that will provide the way for men to worship God in spirit and in truth. Okay, I hope that's been helpful to you. I know a lot of this is repeat. Seems like when I study, I wind up going back through some of the same things of the fact of our motivation, why we do what we do. Do we teach Sunday school? Do we give? Do we play the piano? Whatever it might be, do we do it for our own good or for our own feelings, or do we do it because we want to please God? We want to do it for His honor, to bring honor and glory to Him, or for ourselves. So if I've learned anything in my life, is you can't please others, you can't please yourself. If we'll spend our time pleasing God, and that's difficult sometimes because we still have this flesh, we still live in this flesh. But we have to yield to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit gives us the power to live a life that's pleasing to God and that will honor Him and cause others to see Christ in us and will be a witness for Him in a positive way to His name. Father, we thank You for this time together. We thank You for the Word, and pray that something was said this morning that would spark our hearts and help us to look at the reason we do what we do, and do we have the right motive? Do we do it for the right reason? Are we trying to please others, or are we trying to please You? We just pray now that each one of us would think about what we've heard today. And we just pray that it's been hearts touched today. If there's anyone here who's never trusted Christ, they're still outside of the body of Christ, we pray that they would see by faith the Lord Jesus Christ, the finished work, that there's no way to heaven except through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have to come to Him, admit that we're sinners, and call upon Him to save us. And we just pray that if there's any here that hasn't done that, they will do so today. Now bless us as we go our separate ways, and thank You again for Your Word and for Your many blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.